But thank you so much for coming. It's such a joy to see how many people came to celebrate the life of the man that I simply knew as Pastor David. I always wanted to give him that mark of respect. Priscilla will read the facts later on. I will share with you some personal observations that I've had since I've known Pastor David. And the family will come up later and add more. But the thing that always stood out to me was that he was a man, is a man, of compassion. And I'm going to say is, forgive me if I lapse, but I'm going to say is, because he's like Billy Graham said a few weeks ago, he just changed addresses. He's not dumb. He is, he's with Jesus now, but he is still very much alive. I'm learning more and more about the generosity of David Whitmore. We're finding now that, at least I didn't know, maybe other people did, but we're finding more and more people who he used to give to, and out of his own resources, and didn't necessarily trumpet that to anybody else. I regret not knowing him better. We both had full-time jobs, but I wanted to spend more time with him. I wanted to get to know how to love people the way that he seemed to be able to love people. Yeah. He was always giving, always wanting to do something. Whenever we would get together, he would insist on picking me up. I would offer, hey, I can meet you halfway. I can. There are ways I can get around. But he always insisted on being, you know, that he would come and get me. Even before he got his eyes fixed, I remember one particular day that we were going somewhere, and he didn't quite know where he was, and he was driving up to the street sign and looking up at the street sign from right underneath it. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, I don't know that this man sees any better than I do. But he had his hope in Jesus.
Amen.
A lot of times when ministers are called upon to do memorials or funerals, we may not know the person. I haven't really done that many yet, but I know from years of watching my father that sometimes you struggle what to say. And sometimes if you know that they didn't know Jesus, you don't know how to offer much hope. But we don't have that problem with David Whitmore. These services aren't so much for his benefit. Jesus is in his heart, and he is with Jesus, and I bet he's putting in a good word for the Cowboys. But we need this time. We need this time, and that's okay. The message that I have been hearing this week as I've talked with Priscilla, and as I've heard little bits of what the family wants to do and wants to say, the message I'm hearing is, yes, we're grieving. We're going to miss David Whitmore, but not as those who have no hope. Our trust remains in God. And even though we didn't get the answer that we wanted, we know where he is. Our pastor, husband, father, friend is with Jesus.
Amen.
And we can hold on to that hope. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. Paul writes, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Because Jesus arose, we have that hope. We can believe that we see those that we love who've gone on. That's why he uses, and Jesus also used this metaphor of falling asleep. One time he said it to his disciples and they didn't get it. He was talking about Lazarus. He said, well, if he's asleep, he'll wake up. But that's what was being communicated there. That's what Paul is communicating here. We're going to see him again. It's just like they went for a long nap. We will all get to meet Jesus. And those who have moved on, you know what, they already did meet Jesus. There's some controversy back and forth about what really happens when we go. We know we'll all be with Jesus, but exactly how it works, we don't quite know. But it says here in this verse that we just read that God's going to bring them with him. Well, then they must be with him. But they will be first to have their glorified bodies. And they've already been first to see Jesus. He is the one who sustains our hope. We have hope because of his resurrection. There's no hope without it. Paul writes in another letter in 1 Corinthians 15:14 that if the resurrection isn't true, we're all hopeless. But it is true. We have hope because of his perfection, because of his payment for our sins. And this hope belongs to all of us who call on his name. Thus, Paul's reference here to those who have no hope. Because without that, we got nothing but memories. And not really a whole lot of hope for the future. Not even their own future. And I know that if David could be here today, he would want you to know. He would want you to have that hope if you don't already have it. And so, comfort one another with these words. Those who have gone before us have the gift of getting to see Jesus first. They're without pain, they're without sorrow, and we're going to see him again. Today's message, as we take some time to remember and to grieve, the message that I've heard from the family is we still believe in God. We still believe that he answers prayer. We don't know what that answer is going to be. We may have questions. That's all right. God's big enough to take it. How did God let this happen? How come this happened? I mean, this is a good guy. He should have been around for at least a couple decades, right? He honored his parents. He was a good guy. He helped everybody. Didn't he deserve a long life? Isn't that what the scripture says? But what about us? We're left without him now. God, don't you care about our grief? And what about all of those who have depended on him? And what about our church? For 60 years, Whitmore has been at the helm of this church. And now that's not going to be so anymore. But yet, in God, we will trust. Because the Heavenly Father loved us enough to give his Son. And the Son loved us enough to give his life. And he promised us that all things would work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. This requires us to have an eternal perspective. Life here is often going to fail to meet our expectations, what we think it ought to be. But we weather the storm because we believe this. Life is not all there is. He got an early start on God's big adventure because I truly believe that heaven is, yes, it's our destination, it's where we want to be. But soon, someday, the heaven is going to be right here. God is going to come and dwell with us. Revelation tells us that. And there's evidence when you read that people are going and coming and doing things. I believe it's only the beginning. That there is so much that we can't even conceive of that we're going to be involved in, that the Almighty Creator God, who doesn't change, who's still the same Creator that created the universe and spoke it into existence, he has more for us to do. Priscilla asked me to do a song today that kind of illustrates the theme. And it's very emotional for me too, as probably every one of us in here has faced some kind of heart-wrenching challenge. But we say, Lord, I know you can fix it, but even if you don't, I will trust in you. My hope is in you. They say sometimes you lose, win some. Sometimes you lose some. Right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. Right now I just, a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have. Right. God, when you choose to see mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to stand in His. Thank you.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Can you hear me? Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. If you don't know me, my name is Rayanne. I'm David's oldest daughter. I thought long and hard about what I would say here today to adequately honor the memory of a man as great as my father. I grappled with the daunting task of speaking about him to a crowd at his memorial service. It's never an easy thing to lose a loved one. Certainly something even more profound for a girl to lose her daddy. And when the loss is one of a man of this caliber, no words seem to do him justice. I wrote several versions of a short speech about what my dad was like, how he loved unconditionally and gave more of himself than he ever expected in return, how he was a servant to his faith, his family, and his friends in that order, a hardworking man who never said no to anyone in need. He would literally give you the shirt off of his back or the last dollar in his pocket. There were funny quips in those speeches about how he'd furrow his brow and look at you like you were crazy if you tried to spill the beans on the score of the Cowboys game before he got home to watch the recorded version later that night because he'd been out serving his congregation all day rather than doing one of his favorite things, which was watching the Cowboys play on Sunday. I'd written about how gentle and kind he was, but if you ever played water volleyball against him, you knew it wasn't unusual for him to stuff the ball in your face and then peacock around a bit after scoring. I even recently learned that he was the ping pong champion at work. I wrote about how he loved Rocky Road ice cream and how he would often enjoy it straight from the 1 gallon container on the sofa while watching Law & Order, his favorite show. He would frequently doze off, but then awaken suddenly if you tried to change the channel with a confused look and say, "Hey, I was watching that." But ultimately, the message I decided to relay to you today is one that I think he would try to deliver. Something that would not only make him proud, but would continue his legacy of love, kindness, unrelenting, and selfless service to those around him. My dad would have wanted you all to leave here today inspired with a message of love for others, a heart full of dedication to a cause you believe in, and the desire to make the world a better place. And if he had control of it, of course, he would make sure the Cowboys won the Super Bowl this year. If you ever called him and got his voicemail, you'd hear the typical leave a name and number in his sweet southern drawl. But his message ended with, "Do something good for somebody today, and may God bless you." This was his message. He would want you not to mourn his loss, but to celebrate his life and honor that by doing something kind. I would encourage every person here today to go out and do something good for somebody today and every day in his honor. Not just the people that are conveniently around you, but total strangers, someone completely unexpected. Simple acts of kindness could change the world. He knew this, and he made it his primary purpose. When my dad delivered a sermon, coached a football game, or just gave you some advice, you knew that he was a passionate man. He was quiet and gentle and often even labeled a bit of a wallflower until he was in a position to inspire someone. I hope you leave here today feeling inspired. Inspired to be the best version of yourself you can be for the world, for your loved ones, and for yourself. I will honor my father's memory today by making a vow, a promise to honor him not by grieving and mourning his loss, but by focusing on and improving myself to be the best version of me that I can be, to seek out my truth constantly and to work on difficult tasks in my life with gratitude for those opportunities, to give and receive love freely, to do random acts of kindness for other people regardless of what my perception of them is, to be open-minded to the perspective and influence of people around me without judgment. My father would be so proud to see a crowd of people doing that in his honor, and I hope you will join me. I'm sure there's many different belief systems in this room, but I would venture to guess that the vast majority of us believe that this world is not our final destination. I know my father believed devoutly in heaven and felt strongly that he'd be there with my grandparents and others that have gone before him praising Jesus. Whatever afterlife theory you subscribe to, I would bet that you'll see my father. He will have arrived in glory and heard one of his favorite verses. Matthew 25:21. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
That means you're going to come to church next Sunday, right?
I'm Donna. I'm David's older sister, but I always look much younger. I am heartbroken, and my soul is struggling. But there are a few things that I feel I need to say to David. David, I hope you know that when I was 10 and you were 7, and for a whole year, I asked Mom and Dad to send you away. I really didn't mean that. I hope you know that I know you never told Mom and Dad that I would sneak into my bedroom and dance to Elvis and Paul Anka and Pat Boone. I hope you know that I never told Mom and Dad that you and some of your buddies stole my college roommate's 1964 Mustang and took it for a midnight spin. I hope you know that when my first love rejected, you were the one who soothed me and told me that I was worthy of real love. David, I hope you know that I know that you and Chris carried the load of care for my mom and dad. And when Mom wanted to be in her home, you and Chris took your family, left your home, so that you could take care of Mom where she wanted to be. David, I hope you know that when you followed in Dad's footsteps, we all know it was not out of duty. It was out of genuine love, respect, and care for all those you faithfully served at Bartimaeus. God's love shines through you. David, I hope you know that the last time in the hospital, when we held hands and prayed, and then you teased me for being like Mom because of my tears, never knowing that only in a few days you would be with her. I hope you know how heartfelt our hug and our love was. Oh, David, I hope you know.
It was great, Mom. Thank you, baby.
Didn't know today would be on. real loud, I promise.
Jerry, can you hear me back there? I'm going to talk real loud. And I'm going to cry real loud, too, so that's okay. You can see how evident it is that David was a very loved man. Okay, let me get to the who's the Booker by. David Russell Whitmore. David Whitmore was born in Dallas, Texas. He is preceded in death by his parents, Robert Whitmore and Anna Ruth. He's survived by his sister, Donna Bloom and Bill. He is also survived by his wonderful, precious wife of 35 years. I don't think he knew that at times. Many sons and daughters, Ray Wallace, Max Wallace and Megan, Connor Hudson, Alonia Jakes, Greg Reiser and Kara, Tyler Brown, Richard and Ryland, Leslie and Trent Reiser, Lindsay Bennett and John, I'm sorry, Josh Reiser and Jerry, Kimberly Whitmore and Edward Gensel, Josue Presa and Yvette, Josue Jr. I know he's doing that. Josue Presa and Yvette, Josue Jr., Ethan Daniel, and Isabella.
Can y'all hear me?
No.
We can't hear Pastor, sorry.
Try it again.
No.
I'm not sure what happened, it just quit.
Well, thank you, David Ross. Where that man? He is going to get in big trouble once again.
Okay. As you can see from all the people here, David was truly a great man and had impacted so many people's lives. He was a great guy. When I first met David through a friend, Ronnie and Pat, Pat's here, Ronnie's gone up to be with David, or he was up there first, that night David kept asking me, can I fix you a drink? Can I fix you a drink? We're talking about soda pop. And Pat said, Chris, please let him fix you a drink. In David's last hours, all he wanted was a drink. Just a sip of water. He was so dry, he said. But now we know that in the Bible, John 4:14, it says, But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. David definitely does not thirst anymore. I want to tell you a little bit about, we have so many people asking, what happened? Well, if I knew that, I'd be a genius. But David started feeling really tired. He had headaches. We took him, I called him at work. He said, Chris, I really need you to take me to the emergency room. I knew something was wrong because he hated doctors. We went to the emergency room on Saturday. They really didn't know what was wrong with him. They ran so many tests on that poor guy, and all he wanted was to get to go home. That evening, he started aspirating, meaning that every time he took a drink, it would go in his lungs. The nurses in Kimberly decided he shouldn't get any more to drink. And me. Well, during the night, now you have to realize Whitmore hadn't eaten since Friday. This is going on Sunday morning. The nurses come in and they went, good morning, Mr. Whitmore. He went, well, hello. And they said, how are you today? He said, I'm great. I have cleaned off my little tray and I'm ready for my breakfast. And they went, well, I'm so sorry, Mr. Whitmore. You're not getting breakfast. The man was on morphine. He went, oh, you know what? tell, but they're trying to starve me in here. So needless to say, he was hungry. They still couldn't find out what was wrong with my baby. We transferred him down to Baylor downtown. He had so many visitors and people praying for him. I think one of the most special moments was when little Isabella prayed for her pops, and then Elite Daniel did, and then Jose Jr. that meant so much to me. And all the other people that came and prayed with me, it meant so much. So I had to take Kimmy to the orthopedic, and me and Isabella
and Kimmy decided, I don't know, please put more.
We decided that instead of stopping to get a Happy Meal, that we would go see David. And I thank God that happened. I know it. And we went into the room, and he couldn't talk. His throat was paralyzed. And he said, I just want to go home, Chris. Well, I didn't know what he was exactly talking about. So we stayed in there. He held my hand. I'm always asking him, Whitmore, do you love me? And he'll go, sure. Not the most romantic guy, but it worked. So we sat there for a little while. He had to get up and go to the restroom. Kimmy and I helped him with that. We got him back into the bed. I said, get your oxygen on, please, hurry, because he was panting so hard. He got his oxygen on, and I said, you okay, babe? He went, yeah. Then he went, you know, I'm a little, and he started convulsing. I hurriedly told Kimmy to go down the hall. She proceeded to scream and holler. We got every doctor on that floor there. And I sat patiently in the chair by my husband, and I prayed the whole time for him. They started working on him, hollering at him. I thought, oh, that's not going to do any good. But they tried so hard, and they said, Miss Whitmore, do you want to leave? I went, no, I'm sitting here praying for my husband. And they just kept working on him, called for the crash cart. I knew it was getting very serious. So I decided to walk out in the hall. I sat down. They immediately got a chaplain, another lady. I have no idea who she was besides an angel. Kimmy got on the phone and called all the family. And I was sitting there praying, please, God, help him. He's suffering so much. Please help him. That was my prayer. But my answer was, I'm taking him home today. And I went, no, wait a minute. Did you really say that? He goes, I'm taking him home today. Immediately, I felt peace come over me. And I knew David was going to be gone. So I sit in the hall with the chaplain. We prayed. They're working on him. They got the crash cart. They're going clear, just like on TV. It's horrifying. I knew my husband had gone. So the doctor came out and said, Ms. Whitmore, we're doing everything we can, ma'am. And I said, it doesn't matter. You can do what you want, but my God took my baby home today. And he looked at me very strange. He goes, but we're going to get him stable. And I went, do what you want. But he has gone to be with Jesus today. Now, you might say I'm crazy, a witch, or whatever, but God talks to me on a daily basis. I knew he was gone. My kids walked up. Greg was the first one I saw. Poor thing about knocking over. But he had gone to be with Jesus. So they came out and said, I'm so sorry, Ms. Whitmore. I said, I know. And today, I feel so sorry for y'all, because if you know him at all, you're grieving today. He was a great guy.
Amen.
Really was a great guy. Okay, enough stuff like that. David was also a prankster. He, with his first wife, Jenna, very sweet girl. You know, people, you should like your exes. It helps the kids. And she fell asleep out at the lake. And Whitmore found a dead snake. And he propped a little stick in its mouth so and laid it by her because she had taken a nap. She woke up and saw that and screamed and took off, leaving him there. I don't want it. Another time, and I don't want to go long, I know I talk so much. Another time, David and I sat up that night and we watched the murder in the dorm room. Why we watched that, stupid? Because it was the murder in the dorm room. He thought he'd be real cute. I said, David, I'm going to go hang out of bed. I'm really tired. Well, I could just immediately fall asleep just on a dime, or I used to. And I knew David was brushing his teeth and all that kind of stuff. Well, I had fallen asleep. It wasn't the deep sleep. It was a sleep that you know that someone's gone. Someone's staring at you. I woke up. David had a like a machete almost over my head. I screamed. He threw it all the way from me. He said, "Priest, you could kill me." He was such a prankster. We decided one weekend to go to Arbuckle. I don't know if y'all ever been there in Oklahoma. But if you drive your car through and you see animals, you can also feed them. Well, I know you're thinking, we had a little festiva, and you go, why do big fat people get little cars? It's because we're short and fat, and we like short and fat cars. We proceeded in Arbuckle. I was driving. David and I were just about shoulder to shoulder in that little car. And we went through all the animals, fed them. It was wonderful. We get to a sign, zebras do not feed. And Whitmore starts rolling down his window. David, you cannot feed the zebras. It says that for a reason. Chris, I'm not going to. I just want to pee. So as he's putting the feed down, in a, it's in a round cart, he spills some on his crotch. This big-headed zebra came in the window and started trying to bite
me. Poor zebra.
Had a terrible time trying to find that food. David gets really scared. Chris, get out of here. And I start laughing because he's laying on the gear shift. I said, David, move.
Something about this.
David, move your leg. But I was laughing so hard he couldn't hear me. Chris, you're doing this on purpose. Get this car out of here. That zebra had a fine time on him that day. We laughed, and I couldn't hardly move that festiva. I mean, we had that tire down to the ground. But
He wasn't one to obey rules.
David and his first wife, Jenna, had two beautiful girls.
Oh my goodness.
And I had two handsome sons by my first marriage. We definitely became the Brady Bunch. Kimmy is a beautiful product of David and I both. She looks just like me. I felt good for her because she knew exactly where she belonged. Kids have to struggle sometimes with who loves who more or who's a special one. I would take Greg and Josh out and we'd be by ourselves and I'd go, listen, we're going to Taco Bell and get a burrito and not tell anybody else. Fat today. David took on the responsibility of taking in my boys and his girls and we made a family. David immediately took the role of football coach. He loved football and the boys loved it too. Chris, I think I want to coach in Pee Wee so I can be with the boys. Okay, that sounds good. Well, 18 years later, he was still a coach. David had a heart of gold. He would play every player on the team, even if it meant losing the game. David understood that every child made a difference, that they stood for someone's child, brother, or maybe just trying to fit in. David loved football, coaching football. You and I are going to talk tonight. David always said he had a David said he always had a drug problem. And I went, what is that? He goes, my parents drove me to church in the morning, the afternoon, at night. He was a wonderful person. And I know this is going to be very unusual and you probably think I'm on pain pills or something. But if David impacted your life at all, can we please clap so we can hear it? Okay, kids, Father's Day's coming up. I'm going to see all of them back in church. And since he's Baptist, Kathy, we need to make sure we can all have a good time today. What else can we say about that beautiful man? I appreciate y'all so much taking time out of this hot Texas day to be here for my family and for representing how much you love David. So thank you all so much. Thank you.
We're going to play a song.
This is my
song to him.
And to God. hospital that they passed, and I asked all the kids to come in the room. And I said, do y'all mind if we give David's tissues, organs, whatever they can use to donate? And they said, sure. David said always, do something good for somebody because God did something good for you. So even in his death, he did something good for over hundreds of people. And I am just thrilled. Just a reminder, call your mom and dad every day. Even if you don't like them. Tell your kids you love them and that they're going to succeed. If I learned anything from Whitmore, it was he always just wanted you to be yourself. And you can be anybody you want to be, always. Thank you, Mark. And good morning.
Where is Mark?
I'm going to say a prayer and then we'll adjourn. But thank you all so much. I'm just thrilled to see how many people are here today. It just makes me feel so good. Please know that you're loved. Well, okay, Mark's not here. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for 37 years that I had with this man. He wouldn't ask me to marry him until after I got pregnant. So, but you knew the plan, Father. You could see the front of the parade. We can only see things on a daily basis, and you see the end of the parade. I hurt today. My kids hurt today. But, Father, I know you've got something good for us. Our lives have been changed because of David Whitmore, my life and theirs. Thank you so much, and bless each person that came out today on this hot day. We love you and thank you and give you the honor and the glory forever. Amen.